Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the May 19th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick? Fritz?
Here.
Hales?
Here. Welcome, everyone. We're going to move to our 4/5 agenda item number 527-1 and 527-2.
527-1, adopt new and amended supporting documents for an update of Portland's comprehensive plan, accept report of the Citizen Involvement Committee, and 527-2, adopt a new comprehensive plan for the City of Portland, Oregon.
Okay, so we have a couple of items to deal with here in particular, and I have some points I need to get into the record about one of them. Last Thursday, Council reaffirmed a decision made the previous day for Comp Plan Map Amendment Number 5, S12, which addresses property at Southeast 17th and Inslee. Prior to our original vote on May 11th, Council asked for the Planning and Sustainability Commission's recommendation in order to inform our decision-making process. BPS staff incorrectly replied that R1 was the designation that would have applied, when in fact the recommendation was a combination of R1 and R2.5. The next day, BPS staff provided a correction, and Council reaffirmed the earlier vote to deny the requested amendment to apply RH to the property. After speaking with Council offices following the vote on May 11th, I learned that some of us voted based on an understanding that a vote consistent with the PSC would not render any properties non-conforming. This is not the case. Applying R2.5 in the two-block area subject to this amendment would result in four properties becoming non-conforming based on what is built and there today, or in one case, what is currently under permit to be built. To acknowledge and address this misunderstanding, staff would like to bring this item back before the City Council to provide clarification and call for another vote. So you want to deal with that first?
I was going to do that second, if that's all right.
Do that second and then and deal with Metro first?
Yep.
Okay, and so Andy Shaw is here from Metro.
Great. Thank you for having me, Andy Shaw with Metro. We're happy they're taking this up today. Thanks for taking the time both last week and this week. I know you're very busy. The voters in our region have twice passed bond measures to direct Metro to acquire critical habitat, to protect water quality, and to create meaningful access to nature for our citizens. For the past two decades, we've kept our eyes squarely on those goals. The Metro Council and our citizen oversight are responsible for managing that program and making sure that we're achieving those goals. We acquire land through a willing seller program, and that can make it quite challenging often to obtain the target areas that we're trying to obtain. Frequently, when we buy land, we've got to buy a larger parcel than what we need. The Spring Water Corridor is a good example of that. We've purchased parcels along there to obtain key right-of-way and the Spring Water Trail and had to buy larger parcels along the way in order to obtain that right-of-way. We don't intend to keep those larger parcels. They're zoned, in many cases, residential. We intend to sell those and to use the proceeds from those properties to put back in the program to ensure we're achieving the voters' goals, which is obtaining as much water quality land, habitat land, and other critical trails and improving the parks that we've purchased so people can access them. In some other cases, we've down by Selwood, we've purchased land where we have upland habitat and we've got floodplain habitat. Both are important, but the upland habitat may not be as critical as our ability to purchase additional waterfront land. And if we can trade that land with others, or we can sell that land in order to purchase other land, that will further, we think, the goals of our program. Downzoning our properties lowers the value of those properties and limits our ability to make those kinds of trades or sales in the interest of obtaining as much land as possible for water protection, water quality protection, and habitat protection. So we're asking you, help me again here, Joe. We're asking on to adopt 55.
Metro is asking that the items in number 55 that we discussed, those properties last time,
right,
that the City Council does not change the designation to open space as recommended in the mayor's letter. And then Metro is asking for reconsideration of Amendment M54, which you all voted on in the first work session, and that's the amendment that designated the parcels along the Springwater Corridor to open space. So those are the two actions that are relevant here. You are continuing the discussion of item 55, so there's no change there. It's just how you vote on it.
And
so if we're sympathetic to Metro's position, we would vote no on 55?
If you would vote no on the motion, which is to adopt the change of zoning in the mayor's letter, yes.
Right, which was 55.
Yes.
Right.
No on 55.
Yes, no on 55 and reconsider 54.
And to be clear, the properties that are subject to the discussion are listed on a sheet that we passed out that was transcribed from the Metro letter.
That. You have another copy of that. For some reason, I'll look at Dan's again.
Well, I am.
Thank you.
I don't know if they were at the deliberation point, but I am persuaded by Metro's arguments. They are an elected board. They are responsible to voters for managing open spaces and their parks and recreation areas. And it makes sense that when you have to buy a piece of property, when you only need a trail right away, there should be another way to flexibility for Metro to maximize the value of that remaining property, especially if the proceeds are going back into open space and natural area preservation. So I would, do I need to make a motion?
Well, we'll take a motion unless there's any other questions for Andy. Okay. I guess, I have another question for Andy. Andy, one of the reasons why I'm reticent about this is just in the abstract, I agree with what Commissioner Salzman just said, at least on some situations. But when you're talking about a piece of riverfront land next to Selwood Riverfront Park, and when you're talking about Mitchell Creek Natural Area, Vano Creek Natural Area, when a public agency, a parks agency, and that's how Metro is certainly perceived in this situation, buys a piece of property with voter-approved parks and open space funding, mm-hmm. it's pretty dissonant, to say the least, to zone that for development. Because we're supposed to zone the land based on its intended use. And I think most reasonable people who maybe aren't following all these machinations would probably expect to rest easy that having voted for the Metro Green Spaces measure and having seen Metro buy this critical piece of vulnerable property that they don't have to worry about it getting developed.
Yeah, it's a great question. I had to explain this to my wife, actually, and it took a little while.
Try to work with her and then try it on us.
Yes.
Did you persuade her?
Yes, in the end, yes. So if you look at Mitchell Creek area, we own a very large portion of property there. Some of it's road front property. That road front property does not necessarily have great habitat value. There's further creek land to both the east and west that we would love to obtain in the program. And if it took a trade of some sort to do that, or if we could sell off a property and purchase that property, that will further our goals of protecting that watershed area. And it won't harm the goals the voters asked us to go achieve, because that road front area could serve a different purpose that does not actually protect the creek. Down on the waterfront near Selwood.
Move off that one, though. I'd like to point out that I appreciate you raising the issue of the parks property that's in the middle there.
Yes.
In review from my staff, this was a mistake, and parks would like that to be zoned open space. We do not support we'd like a change from the Planning Commission recommendation. Yeah. And when you look at where the creek is, certainly it seems to me that the zoning the whole thing for development is completely unwarranted.
So our scientists look at each of these areas and parcels in each instance, and we bring any action through our Citizen Oversight Committee and to the Metro Council for an action. We have a number of instances where we've bought a parcel. We have determined that one portion does not provide very good habitat value but could return value resources back into the program. It's been a common practice for us to do this. All we're asking, we're not saying we're going to develop that area. We're saying we want the flexibility in this program to not have the value of the property diminished.
Well, with all due respect, the several property owners who have come into this council and asked that, including the David Douglas School District and also individual property owners, and the council has looked at the staff's research into the value of the property and, as the mayor said, the hopeful use for the property. Mm-hmm. And in every case, we've said thank you for your input, but in fact, we believe it should be a lower intensity designation. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why Metro should be given more deference, especially when it's been purchased with open space money. This particular property, I would imagine that the neighbors around there would be outraged.
Well, in every instance when we master plan a park, we work with neighbors. We work with the local folks to figure out what's the best use of that space. And uh, we We have a very good track record of involving folks in our processes. We haven't always we haven't done master plans for a lot of these areas, so questions remain to be answered, and we would like the flexibility going forward to make those decisions via the Metro Council.
They were purchased as with green spaces bond measure for natural areas. Mm-hmm. So on that particular property, what is the purpose that's in line with the green spaces bond measure to develop any of this property? If you look back to the picture, the photograph of the aerial photograph, it's completely wooded.
So what our scientists tell us is the main purpose there is to protect that watershed, to protect that creek. And we would go in and look what areas are critical to reaching that goal. And if there was a portion that wasn't needed to achieve that goal, and we could sell that off or we could trade it, and we could use those resources or that land in trade to obtain larger portions of the creek, then we can actually have more of an impact on water quality protection and habitat protection doing that. All we're asking for is to retain the current zoning so we can maintain that flexibility.
One technical thing that I'd like to add just along that line is Portland does have transfer of development rights in its code, so there is an aspect of this that could theoretically relate to that without actually development having to happen on the site, and that is one aspect of their request that
why should we do that for Metro and we haven't done it for other property owners?
I'm not going to.
I think this really calls into question the defensibility of the entire plan at the Land Conservation Development Commission. It's based on the research, the scientific research of what's the appropriate use of the land.
Yeah, I'm not recommending you do that. I'm just wanted that fact to be known in the record.
Eric, can I ask you just a couple questions? So this is to staff. Metro says they would like to have more flexibility. I can understand that. Particularly if it's a trade, it ends up being a net plus. The question of whether any action they take is faithful to whatever they promised the voters, it seems to me, is outside of our purview. So what's left for us to consider?
The basic question here is what is the base land use designation going to be? And I think the issue revolves around the fact that that does affect land value. So, you know, the base designation on the property gives some certainty to all the folks around as well as the property owners to what's allowed. And so that's sort of the issue. Regardless of a property owner's actual use of a site, the zoning and the comp plan give you a longer-term certainty.
So if we vote yes on this, what is their recourse if at some point in the future they want to revisit this question?
The comp plan is not a static document for 25 years, so you do have the ability to change it if new information comes up. There is also recourse to any property owner in terms of appeals to the plan on a specific property or a larger issue.
But isn't there a policy that we don't rezone open space? So we wouldn't, if we designated open space in the comp plan, we're not likely to change that.
We did at Colwood.
Well, I know we did at Colwood.
Yeah, it isn't off the table to rezone open space, depending on the facts.
And show us the riverfront property, please. Because I interrupted you, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Go ahead with your...
Can I just finish my last question with staff?
Sure, go ahead. Sure.
Thank you. Do you have... I want to make sure there's... The document we have, 8 different properties... do you have a different position on each one in terms of recommendation?
We've noted on a couple of the properties that the comp plan didn't propose a change, so that's one technical thing that we just want to sort out. The staff's recommendation going into this was support for the council's action of open space based on earlier support from the Planning Commission on some of this.
Okay. So, Commissioner Fritz, you want to go ahead and talk about Selwood?
Yes, so, was there a specific question that...
What possible development could happen there that would not be detrimental to the open space?
So, again, with this program, we're not developing any land.
What a scenario would be.
Well, one scenario would be that we could trade the upland habitat to somebody. We could sell that upland habitat if that allowed us to obtain more riverfront property. The floodplain is the target here for us. Protecting that area from development is the target. So if there was an organization that cared for upland habitat and we could trade it at a high value to them and use that as a way to obtain riverfront property, if there was development going on at the adjacent parking lot area, and that allowed us to obtain riverfront access. That would be a high priority for the program. I think, do you have the overlay on now that shows the...
Yeah, floodplain? I just put up the map that shows the natural resource inventory, and I believe the purple is the floodplain portion of the property.
We've worked in partnership with the city on the Johnson Creek area and other parks. I think it's tricky often on a willing seller program to obtain some of these critical properties, and sometimes it's taken trades through third-party organizations that are land trusts. These can be complicated deals. If we have to go through a rezoning process, that could make it impossible to make the kinds of movements that we need to make. Again, all we're asking for is the ability for this program to have the flexibility to make the choices that we want to make and achieve the voters' will, which is getting the most critical habitat, protecting it, and creating links for these key regional trails that we've all planned and made a priority.
All right. Further questions for Andy? Anything else that you want to cover?
I think that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. So I don't know if we want to discuss this much before we make a motion, but I believe we have to take action here one way or another. So I'm going to move Amendment 55, which makes this package of changes, right? Do I get that right, Eric?
The motion that we had originally written was to take open space off of those properties. So that would be the motion.
So open space has already been applied?
Open space in the case of, except for the ones that staff noted were not subject to change.
Right. Mixed employment.
Open space is already been applied in the Planning Commission recommendation, and then also via amendment, the earlier amendment at the Selwood section. So you might want to just make a fresh amendment.
Uphold the Planning Commission's recommendation.
Yeah, all right. So I'll second her motion to uphold the Planning Commission's recommendations.
Then the only part that you added as a council after that was the Selwood section that you already voted on. So you don't necessarily need to make a motion if you don't want to revisit that. But that, if you did want to revisit that, that would be a different motion.
Selwood or Springwater Corridor?
It's the Springwater section in Selwood near.
So, Andy, we appreciate you, and we know that you and Chair Hughes and the rest of the Metro Council are doing a great job. But I think there's just a critical couple of issues here in terms of keeping good faith with what the public has a right to expect. And having gone door to door for the Metro Green Spaces Initiative, I just can't imagine a scenario in which we wouldn't, as the Planning and Zoning Agency, in effect verify what the voters did and what Metro did when it bought these properties to say, yeah, that was intended to be open space. That's why we bought it. And I think it's just you're making a very good, and so did your representatives before, making a very good rational argument, but it's a rational argument that essentially undermines the deal that we have with the voters and the community. Or at least could be understood that way. And I think it, to quote the old traffic safety commercial, you may be right, but you might be dead right, and that you will lose more in public support than you'll gain in flexibility. So that's the reason why, even though you're a partner agency, I just can't make this change. I think it needs to be open space because that was what people believed they were promised.
And I just add to that, I believe we need to be consistent with what we've done for private property owners and for other government jurisdictions. And particularly, as the mayor said, since this was purchased with green spaces money, it just doesn't seem right to not then zone it open space. And so I will have another amendment to change the parks property by Mitchell Creek to open space.
All right. Let's move further forward. Discussion before we vote? All right. Let's take a vote then, please.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank Metro for submitting a letter and staff for reviewing it, and my normal inclination would be to give deference to a regional government partner on a matter like this, but it still has to be explained to my satisfaction, and it has to be supported by staff, and it has to be reconciled with the commission action. And I, frankly, maybe it's because we've been at this for so long, I'm still having trouble getting my arms around your position, and with no disrespect to your position, under these circumstances, I can't embrace it because I can't fully appreciate or understand the rationale. So the safest thing to do is to vote aye.
Altman?
Well, I do understand the position of a sister agency that has an elected governing board. And what we're doing here is really substituting our judgment on high at 30,000 feet looking at aerial photographs for their judgment on the ground of their own biologists, their own scientists, and ultimately their own elected council, which has to take the heat for any decision they may make to sell this land, to maximize other open space opportunities. So I really think we're being, you know, with all due respect, we're being a little bit arrogant here, and I think we should be more accommodating of this request of an agency that's done a great job, an outstanding job, in acquiring and preserving open spaces and natural areas in this regional area, and has had the voter support two times, and perhaps the third time this fall, in doing exactly that. So I think they've done a good job. I think they need some flexibility to maximize their investments. And as I said, it's a little bit arrogant on our part to be dictating this on high. So I vote no. That's the correct vote.
Yes.
No.
No vote.
I'm torn on this because I'm sympathetic to all of the arguments that I've heard. I was going to ask for the Mitchell Creek item to be pulled out separately, given the concern about inconsistency between how we're treating our own property and how we're treating Metro's property. So I was very glad that Commissioner Fritz clarified that that's sort of an error that Parks wants to have addressed. So I think that ultimately I will follow Commissioner Fish's lead and say that, being confused, I vote aye. And I hope I wasn't confused about how I was voting.
Fritz.
You know, I went door to door for the green spaces bond measure in 95, and the property near me was purchased. It was the very first property purchased with that money. And it would not only be abhorrent to me for that property to not be zoned open space, which is going to be in this comprehensive plan, but to sell off some of the development rights to it. That's not what we worked for so hard. And I understand that it may diminish the amount of return coming back into the green spaces bond measure. When it comes down to it, I think we need more open spaces in Portland and in the metro region, and not fewer. And I don't. We're zoning the rest of the comprehensive plan to maximize development where we think it's appropriate. So thinking about transfer of development rights, we're already trying to put the development in the right places. And so not knowing where the transfer would be, I can't support treating Metro differently from other property owners. Aye.
Hales.
Well, we're not making this decision from on high, but I want to mention some lofty principles. But first, I've walked some of these properties, so it's not on high, it's at street level, or rather trail level. And then, like Commissioner Fritz, I campaigned for this measure, and there is a good faith issue for those of us who did. That's important. Secondly, and I spent part of the day, as I often do with Planning Bureau staff today, working our way through some details of other planning issues that are on their way to the council, namely our residential infill project. And we're at a time where there's so much growth and change in Portland that we've got to be able to give people some certainty about what's going to be saved and what's going to change, whether it's the great old house next door, the pattern of development in the neighborhood, or where the green space is. And the more certainty we can give people in a time of great change, the better. And so to undermine that, what certainty we do have, that open space is open space, parks are parks, neighborhood main streets are where a lot of growth is going to happen, and the great old house next door might get torn down, or now with maybe new regulations it won't be, but it'll be turned into two apartment units that look like the same old house. Those are the kinds of reassurances that the people that we work for are really desperate to see. And so that's the high altitude question here, is not substituting our judgment for Metro's, but being sensitive to the fact that we're growing so fast and changing so much that part of what has to happen in this plan is people need to know what the deal is for the next 20 years. So that's one of the reasons, Andy, why I think we have to defer in this case to saying, no, open space is open space. Look elsewhere for change. Aye. Thank you. Appreciate you very much.
Thanks for taking the time.
All right. Okay, now, Commissioner Fritz, do you want to make a motion about the parks parcel?
Yes, I move that we change the parks parcel at Mitchell Creek to open space.
Second.
Further discussion?
Deborah, did you have something to add?
No, I'm here for the next
Okay. item. All right, let's take a vote on that, please.
Fish.
Aye.
Novick.
Thank you for salvaging the city's credibility, Commissioner. Aye.
Well, thanks to Metro for bringing that up. Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay, now back to the erroneous assumptions on at least some of our part about the parcel in Westmoreland.
Right.
Okay, so I went through that script that help us again, Deborah.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
And by the way, I just procedurally, is this a package we're going to be voting on?
Well, I think we're going to reconsider.
We'll reconsider. Right? So I'm bringing this back to you. The explanation, I think Mayor Hill's already ran through that. I'm happy to answer questions. I can show two slides, but I want to make sure.
No, I've been briefed. My colleagues may need a description, but I'm just, so we're going to reconsider and then vote separately or as a package?
It would be one vote as part of the reconsideration.
Okay, so the first motion would be to reconsider the vote by which we passed Amendment S-12. Is that right?
So let me show if I may.
Show us and make sure I get this
first
right.
Slide shows you what the vote you took the other day, last week. And so the northern portion, originally everything outlined in a dark black line, originally was the amendment was for RH.
Right.
What your last vote was for the northern portion to be R1, and the southern portion be R2.5. But then if you could go to the next slide, the modification, based on what I now am aware was a misunderstanding, is the vote that you took the other day did render four parcels nonconforming, and that wasn't made clear. And it sounds like what you thought you were voting on was not going to result in anything rendered nonconforming. So the revised motion would be to reaffirm that you're denying the RH, you're voting for the R1 and the R2.5. With these four exceptions, these four parcels would be R1, so that they would not be nonconforming.
Well, they would have otherwise been in the R2.5 area.
They would, in the R2.5.
I got it.
So there's a fourplex, threeplex, existing one area under construction, and another fourplex. Okay. So with the R1, they'd be taken care of.
So I'll move that we reconsider S-12.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any further discussion about the motion to reconsider? So roll call on that, please.
Ish.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Ritz.
Aye.
Hale.
Aye. Okay, and now I'll move to apply R1 zoning to the northern portion and R2.5 zoning to the southern portion with the exception of the four lots shown here with one under permit for 14 units and three existing properties with multifamily
second
development.
Second. Correct.
Further discussion? Roll call.
My only objection, Deborah, is your memo, which states the case very clearly, contains a number of places where staff falls on its sword. And I actually think this was, I think that's very gracious, but this is very complicated, and there are a lot of moving pieces. And I think staff has performed superbly in advising this council. And if this is an example of a 11th hour hiccup at the end of a 1,000-hour process, I salute you even further because it was a subtlety that was lost. But I appreciate you bringing this forward and clarifying this, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Novick.
I agree. Thank you very much. Aye.
Ritz.
Yeah, throughout this process, it's been absolutely exemplary. Thank you, Mayor Hales, for leading it, and thanks to Claire Adamsick and Pooja Bhatt and my staff who likewise have put in a lot of time and effort on this. And it really does feel like it's been a partnership and a very collaborative. And this is an example of good government fessing up when we find out just in time that we've made some mistakes. We may find going down the line that there's been some other inadvertent errors. And in that case, we can bring it back and change it. So that's part of the reason that I love high-level planning, is that you get to look into the future and try to plan for it and then make adjustments as things come along. So thank you very much. Aye.
Yeah, so I appreciate the bravos for staff because you have done a good job. If in a city with 200 some thousand parcels of land and a process this long, if we have an error rate of 2, it's a bad thing for our planners and a good thing for us that they don't command baseball salaries. So, thank you very much. Aye. Okay. Anything else we have to clean up?
One more cleanup item was a memo that we distributed regarding figure 10.1 in the comp plan. This is the table that identifies which zones are allowed in which designations, and we discovered a couple small errors there that we'd like you to correct.
Okay. Move the revised version of figure 10.1.
Second. Eric, these are all just technical corrections?
Yeah, we've explained it in the memo.
Okay. Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Fish? Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Ritz?
This is actually another good example of government doing its duty the way we're supposed to do it. And we were very clear in this process that we closed the public hearing, and then we as elected officials get to make decisions. So I'm reminded that yesterday we got berated that the last changes in the budget were not opened up and explained line by line to the public. And partly that's because we're supposed to be doing that. And that's part of our staff's job, and our job is to make sure that we understand things like this errata memo. So thank you very much. Aye.
Hills.
Aye. Thank you very much. Okay. So we're done with 5.7, 5.7, 1 and 2. There